So we're so grateful to have family of Shelby's here and looking for my water. It was somewhere. It disappeared. So thank you for allowing us to share this and do this with you, Shelby. That was awesome. These babies cry when I hold them for some reason. I think I woke them up. But it sounded like a happy cry, didn't it? Amen, amen. Wasn't awesome? Aren't children awesome? And children and fussing and all that during the service, that's okay. That means there's life here, right? Life. Amen. Amen. So to move forward to today's message, last week I talked about two families, one choice. So this morning I'm going to be on the same theme today, two families, one choice. And we talked about Hagar. And she had Ishmael, and that was based upon man's efforts and his plans, and basically following the law and self-righteousness, trying to do things on your own. So we know about Abraham, God gave it, God says, go, and I'll show you land that's going to belong to you and your family, and you're going to have an heir, and then he's 10 years into it, he's already getting old, I think by this time he's 85. And he says, man, this isn't working out. His wife had this wonderful ideal. Hey, why don't you marry my handmaiden? Right? And they have Ishmael. But God says, no, the promise is not going through Ishmael. That's actually your effort. That was actually your plans and your idea. So the promise is going to come through your own body, not through your own effort. It's going to come from a promise that I gave you. So there was Sarah and Isaac. So that was based upon, really today, if Paul talking about it so much in the book of Galatians, based upon faith in Christ Jesus or a promise. Amen? So a promise is, I promise that you're going to have a child out of your own body. And even his struggle through the years where God said, hey, this child's going to come through your own body. You and Sarah, who well past the years of bearing children, and even Abraham laughing and saying, Lord, can it just come through Ishmael? Enough with this, basically, he was saying. Come on. And then he's getting to where he's 100 years old, right? And he finally has the promise. And how Paul so powerfully uses this, saying, hey, we've got two families here. There's one on your efforts and your abilities. And there's one on promise and putting your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. See, Romans 1:16, I love this scripture, says, Romans 1:16, you know this one, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For it is written, the righteousness, this is important, we always know that verse 16, but verse 17 of Romans chapter 1 says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Wow. It's interesting that he says, he's talking about this faith, and to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. Well, after Jesus rose from the grave, about the first 5 years, that the message was really only going to the Jews. And then about 5 years after Jesus had risen from the grave, and he'd gone to the right hand of the Father, we have the day of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit comes to the believers. About 5 years after that, we have Paul, remember, who became born again. He started out persecuting the church. By the way, he followed the law, right, the Jewish law, and he was persecuting the church, saying, this is the way that you must come to God. This is the only way you must come to God. And then on the road to Damascus, he's what? Knocked off his horse. And he's blinded and hears his voice, and it says, why do you persecute me? And he says, well, who are you? Who are you? I'm Jesus whom you persecute. And then even after that, just to mention, it was like 12 years. Then he gets saved and born again, right? And then he leaves the area. He leaves the area, and it was about 12 years before he actually takes his first missionary journey. God was revealing this gospel of grace to him. He was called to be a leader, an apostle to the Gentiles. So when it says this, that God, he says to the Jew first and also to the Greek, it doesn't mean that if you're not Jewish, you're a second-class citizen. It says, no, that what he did is he brought this message of Christ, salvation through Christ, to the Jews first, and then he brought it to everybody in the world, you and I. Amen? And mention that everybody comes to Christ, can only come to God one way, through Jesus, no matter your background. If you're Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter if you're from uptown or downtown or from the right side of the tracks or the left side of the tracks, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter your education or lack of education, you can only come to God one way, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I find it interesting. He says, as it is written. So he's talking about this salvation through Jesus Christ. And he says, it's as it was written. Well, where was this written? So this, you can imagine Paul during that time, as God is revealing by revelation the new covenant that you and I walk in today. He says in Habakkuk 2, 3, and 4, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And then verse 4 says, behold the proud, his soul not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Wow. So Paul, as he's learning, as he's growing, as he's been born again, he has the Holy Spirit, as he knows this law so well, like the back of his hand, the Lord shows him this and says, this is talking about my Son, Jesus Christ. And so when he says, it is written, that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He says that it's written. It's talking about this scripture written several thousand years before the coming of Christ in Habakkuk, saying, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. And then Galatians 4:28 says, and you, brothers and sisters, who's he talking to? The Galatian church, amen? And you, and you brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. A promise. What's that promise? That promise is you're justified freely by his grace. By putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not by your efforts, not by your works, not by your much doing, but believing a promise that God through Abraham eventually would come down to Jesus being born, amen, being the Son of God, dying for sins of the world, amen, being risen from the dead, and then you and I, 2,000 years later, putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the only way to heaven, and by that promise, it becomes ours now. You're kinfolk to Isaac. It says that. It says, you brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of the promise. Genesis 12 and 3. And this is what it's talking about. And I will bless you. This is God talking about Abraham. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth, wow, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Amen. And so I mentioned last week, I just want to mention this. So what about the law of God? Amen. Don't we got to follow this law to make sure that we're doing good and that we're pleasing God? Well, this is what Paul says about the law of God. Galatians 3, verses 24 through 26. Galatians 3. And it says, therefore, the law has become our guardian to do what? To lead us to Christ. So that we may be justified, how? By faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. What was that guardian? The law. Amen. For you are all sons and daughters. You hear that? For you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. See, your much efforts to follow what you think is right or wrong, whether it be the law or another religion or any efforts on yours, cannot make you righteous in one way, shape, or form. The Word of God saying it even in Romans that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Wow. All my much effort is not righteousness, cannot wash my sins away, cannot deliver me, cannot set me free. Only putting my faith in the blood of Jesus Christ can I be made righteous. Amen? And when he makes you righteous through the Holy Spirit that's in you, then you'll find that the Word of God that dwells in you will begin to change your life. And you will go from much doing to much being who you are in Jesus Christ. I love the fact that I've gone from much doing to much being his son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And a few things, Galatians 4:22, and just going over a little bit last week, because I know it was a lot of information, Galatians 4:22 and 23. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, right? We know Ishmael and Isaac, just making sure you're still awake out there. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and one by the free woman. But the son of the slave woman was born according to the flesh, we talked about that, and the son by the free woman through the promise. So the flesh are doing things on your own efforts to please God. So it's what? It's self-effort and strength. I hope you got a lot of strength. I hope you got a lot of ability. I hope you can get up every morning and say, I can do this. I can please you, God. It's on man's ability. So it's on man's strength, man's ability, man's wisdom, and man's planning. See, all of this is how Ishmael came about. They're planning. Hey, marry my handmaid and let her become your wife. Let your strength be given to her. And then he had to take strength in raising Ishmael when the promise was still coming. But he had to use all his strength on his own plans. And people will do that today. Their own plans on pleasing God. Their own plans on how they can be made righteous before people or before God. That's an example of Ishmael. But how about the promise through Isaac? What is it? First, it's putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it's patience. It's trusting him as he grows you in him, as he leads you. See, the flesh, there's no patience in the flesh, is there? It's like, I want to do this yesterday. Lord, I want you to lead me yesterday. Even today, it's instantly. With the Lord, it's patience. He leads and guides his life. So what happened with Abraham? He became impatient, right? Impatient. And he said, no, I got to make my own plan to turn things, to make things work out. We got to have patience in God leading and guiding our lives. Amen? Three, obedience. But what are we obeying? Well, first, we're obeying the gospel. There's only one way to eternal life. Obedience to the gospel, putting your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? That is obedience. We've talked about it many times, that if you're putting your faith and a trust in a guy that taught, that died 2,000 years ago, man, that's a pretty big act of obedience, trusting him. But I've said it many times before as well, that to God, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. So in God's mind, 1,000 years means nothing. Amen? Fruit of the Spirit, the Lord changes us from the inside. Man, it's hard to change yourself. You ever tried that? That gets exhausting. But if it's the fruit of the Spirit, like it says in Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit. So who's doing the changing in our lives? The Spirit of God. And it takes that patience, saying, Lord, thank you. You keep yielding to him. You keep yielding your heart to him. And then he brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. It's called maturity in God. Fruit of the Spirit. And then again, the promise of God, faith in God's ability and his strength. His strength working through me. My faith in him, putting my trust and faith in him. We got to tell ourselves this over and over and over and over again, because the enemy of our soul, Satan, will constantly pound you. No, it's up to you. You've got to do it. You've got to make things happen. God's expecting you to do. And that's what the devil does. The world does the same thing. You've got to do it. Where God's saying, no, I'm going to work through you. My strength working through you. I'm mighty in you. Amen? That's the promise. So that's kind of an overview of what I talked about last week. And so point one for this week. First thing is, we're talking about the promise versus the promise of God through Abraham, through Isaac. First promise is you receive the Holy Spirit by faith. See, Galatians 3:13 and 14 says, God, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Wow, he redeemed us. He bought us. He purchased us back. Having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, wow, would come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. So So the first thing is saying, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash my sins away by the blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. You can't walk this life of faith and grace on your own strength. So you learn to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And what it allows you and I to do is to have some rest. Lord, I trust you. Lord, my heart is trusting in you that I am right with you by faith. Lord, I may have a lot of things going on, but I know by faith that my heart, that I am right with you, that you love me, that you even like me, that you're for me, that you want to lead and guide my life. It's His Spirit leading. You can't do it on your efforts. When you do it on your efforts, we're going to talk about it in a little bit. It's called legalism. Anything that starts becoming your efforts to please God turns into legalism. And legalism means that you're, we're going to get there. And then I want to mention a few things. This is a powerful story. I want to pick out some nuggets about Abraham in Genesis chapter 20. Now I'm going to go through some scriptures, so hang with me. Amen. Good thing I know you guys love the Word of God, so it's no big deal. Genesis 20, verses 1 through 7, it says, Now Abraham journeyed from there toward the lands of the Negev, and settled between Kadesh and Shur. Then he lived for a time in Gerar. And Abraham said to his wife Sarah, She is my sister. King of Gerar sent men and took Sarah. So stop, man. He says, You're my sister. This king in this area, he comes and says, Hey, you, come with me. And Abraham says, Better do what he says. So I don't know at this time what Abraham is thinking. But one thing I do know, even in his mistakes, he has put his trust in God. And even though he had made a mistake here because of fear, we'll talk a little bit more about it, he just lets him take his wife. And he says, and Abraham said, Wife Sarah, she and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, Behold, you are a dead man. Man, our God is an awesome God. Our God is a powerful God. Our God had a covenant and a promise he had given Abraham. And even though Abraham had been a knucklehead in some areas and been fearful, he didn't say, Abraham, figure it out. You better go back and tell him that that's your wife. No, God stands up for Abraham in the dream and says to him, Behold, you are a dead man of the woman whom you have taken, for she married. Now Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you kill a nation even though blameless? So he's having a conversation with the Lord Abimelech, this king. He's having a conversation in a dream with God. He had not come near, and the Lord, will you kill a nation even though blameless? Did he himself not say to me, She is my sister? And she herself said, He is my brother? In the integrity of my heart, in the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Then God said to him in the dream, Yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart you have done this. And I also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. God's protection there. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet. By the way, it's the first time we hear the term prophet in the Bible. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her, know that you will certainly die, you and all who are yours. Wow. God's protection. You think of God. You think God was interested in protecting that promise? You see that story right there is where God would him coming and taking his wife, and God having intervening, having this conversation with this king of this empire, and said, Hey, look, better give her back or things aren't going to go well with you. So the number two, saying God's protection is on your family and my family. See, we're part of the promise. See, if I'm a joint heir with Christ, if I'm a joint heir, if I'm a an heir of Abraham, what are some of those promises? Well, Psalms 121, 7 and 8, just real quick, says, Psalms 121, 7 and 8, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forever. So God, protection. You know, we got to, this is what we have to remind ourselves or say, God, I believe that you protect. God, I believe that you're leading me. But see, what a lot of times religion will say is, man, whatever will happen is going to happen. Just all things happen because, you know, God giveth and God taketh away. But you know, the promises of God that we have in Christ Jesus through Abraham is saying, God, you will keep that concerning me. Lord, I believe the word of God is, as I'm walking as a joint heir in Christ, that you will protect my family and lead and guide my family into all truth. So, and I've said many times, what you believe absolutely matters. The things that you believe and declare over your life in Christ Jesus will make a total difference on the outcome of your life. I shall live and I shall not die to declare the glory of the Lord. Amen. And so Genesis 28 through 13, and we're going to continue on. So Abimelech got up early. I mean, he has this dream and this conversation with God. So I take it he didn't sleep too well. So Abimelech got up early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their presence. And the people were greatly frightened. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what have you encountered that you have done these things? We'll come back to that in a minute. Abimelech said, because I thought, surely there is no fear of God. Abraham said, because I thought, surely there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she actually is my sister, the daughter of my father, but not my mother, and she became my wife. And it came about when God caused me to wander from my father's house to her. Go to me, everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother. And so I want to point I want to say is what we have encountered. See, the things we have experienced so often in our life or see many times determine our actions. I find it interesting. Abimelech says, what has happened in your life that you would do something so crazy that you allow me to come into the camp and say, and don't tell me, you tell me this is your sister, and you allow me to take your wife. And you almost got our whole kingdom killed because of this, by the way. You see, what happens, what I've understood, is sometimes people make these inner vows in their hearts. And so many times it determines their actions through the years. See, people make inner vows in their hearts. They'll say things, and it can be like this. They never think about it, but it has a lasting impact on their lives. They'll say things like, I'll never trust a person again. Those things that have happened in my life or things that I experienced, I will never trust a person again. Now, we don't know what happened to Abraham along his way. We don't have his full story. But it's interesting that Abimelech says, what has happened to you that you would make such a crazy decision like you did? And see, people will make little vows in their heart. He's saying, hey, tell everybody you're my sister. This is me and your vow. Wherever we go, you're not my wife, you're my sister. And because you are, you're my half-sister. By the way, that's against the law. We don't have the law then, but you can't marry your half-sister in the law. And obviously here in today's, you would not marry your half-sister. But by the way, Abraham married his half-sister. So people will make these vows. I'll never trust a person. I'll never trust God. I'll never trust a church. I'll never forgive that person. I'll never try that again. That was a failure. You know, things, we'll make things, we'll take vows in our hearts without realizing it. It'll make us respond that way. We'll say these things, that'll never happen again. I'll never do that again. Boy, and they'll put these vows, and actually it's putting up a wall. It puts up a wall. The only way you can protect your heart from those things, you've got to put up a wall. And many times it's through a vow. Never do that again. So Abram doing something crazy, somehow he had, because of something in his past, he made a vow saying, hey, you're my sister. Let's make this vow. Everybody's going to know you as my sister. So when there are these inner vows, we respond like Abraham. Where there are these vows, it is no longer a relationship. It becomes legalism. And I'll show a little bit more about this. Show me your legalism, and I'm telling you what, I'll show you your pain. Show me your legalism, these acts of righteous religion, but there's no relationship, and I'll show you a place in your life where there has been pain. Legalism, so much as far as a form of godliness, saying all the right things, but there's no relationship. Somewhere down the road, there's been a vow. That'll never happen again. I still love God, but when that heart becomes a part of a life where nobody can get in, not even God, perhaps, in an area, you got a born again, you got a new heart, where we're not going to grow in this area because we make vows saying, never again. And so these no longer, so it becomes a legalism, a form of godliness. So we have these areas where we have these inner vows. There isn't a trusting relationship in these areas with God. So without even realizing it, we're moving to legalism to appease our conscience. You know, it becomes duties and rituals and not a relationship. Let me tell you, God is about relationship. He's not interested in all the rituals. We have a lot of rituals sometimes. Things that we do to we appease God happy. People can have ritualisms even in seeking God. I'm going to seek God at this certain time. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make sure I say the right thing, because if I don't say the right thing, God will get me. Even the words of our mouth, they become a form of legalism. So John 3:23 says this. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Lord, his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Talking with a young man this past week, saying, it was hammering, no, we got to keep the commandments. We got to keep the commandments. We got to keep the commandments. While that individual has no peace in their lives, and I sent him this scripture, I said, here's the commandment, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, and allow him to work in your life and love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Anything else as far as you thinking that you have to do anything to please God is a form of legalism. Let me go to Matthew 5, 33 and 37. You still hanging in there with me? Matthew 5, 33 through 37 says, again, this is Jesus, again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, take no oath at all, neither by heaven, for it is the throne of God, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you take an oath by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. But make sure your statement is this, yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond this is of evil origin. Can you believe that? Anytime where we're walking with God, we can start making promises to God. Lord, I'll never do that again. Did you know you're setting yourself up for failure? Totally. You are setting yourself up for failure. That's why when I have a baby dedication, I don't get a mother or father or anybody up here and says, here, will you promise to do this? And you promise to do this? And will you promise? What the Word of God says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And in the New Covenant it says, raise up a child in the way they should go. And when they grow up, they will not depart. They might do a little bit of this and that, man, but the Word of God is still there. Man, it's just a matter of time. They're coming back. That is a promise from the Word of God. Anything beyond that is, see, the enemy loves us to make vows in our own strength and our own flesh, because he knows we're setting ourselves up for a failure. And when we set ourselves up for failure, the next step is condemnation. James 5:12, it talks about that. James 5:12. It says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, or your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. You see, that condemnation, when you look it up, it means dissimulation. It means that to disguise or conceal under false appearance. And so legalism of all these actions to prove ourselves worthy before God, really, it's just to conceal. It's actually a false appearance. There's no changing of the heart. It's putting on the putting all these things, this facade on, actually saying the right thing, you know, trying to appear to do the right thing, but it had nothing to do with changing the heart. So that condemnation means the deceit, dissimulation, pretend, and hypocrisy. See, with religion, you like to look at everybody else's rights and wrongs. Religion does that. Judge others. Judge them by their fruits, but at the same time, the individual who's doing that, the power of the law, the power of sin is released in their lives, and they're actually doing the same thing that they are condemning others of. That's what legalism does. See, it causes you to be under condemnation, and then the only option you have is to condemn others, to make yourself look better. Romans chapter 2, it says, you that are saying, don't do this, don't do that, do this, but you're doing the same thing. Because Paul knew that the power of legalism, the power in your own strength, actually causes that thing in your life to actually grow stronger. Because your flesh, man, it is not going to behave. Paul says in Romans 6 that you're to be dead to sin. Not to take that flesh and say, we're going to whip you into shape. And you're going to pay attention and to listen. No, that, we don't realize that is actually legalism. So amen. You still there, amen? Love the Lord, amen? Let me just say this is awesome. The next point. God blessed Abraham even in his mistakes. See, legalism and religion won't allow that to happen. You've got to earn it, baby. You've got to earn it. You've got to prove it. But God's blessing, his even in Abraham's mistakes, his blessing was still on him. So as we finish up this account in the Bible, this part blows me away. Abimelech, 2014. Abimelech then, okay, he says, hey, can't believe you did this to me. What happened in your life? It says, Abimelech then took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them and returned his wife Sarah to him. Abimelech said, behold, the land is before you. Settle wherever you please. To Sarah, he said, look, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is your vindication before all who are with you, and before everyone you are cleared. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his female slaves so that they gave birth to children. For the Lord had completely closed all the wombs of the household of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So not only does he say, hey, I'm giving your wife back, he says, here's a 1,000 pieces of silver for your trouble. And anywhere in my kingdom here you can dwell. God took what would seem like a terrible mistake and blessed Abraham. See, it's the kindness of the Lord that leads somebody to repentance. Oh, how he loves you and I. He's not looking to strike us down. He's looking to show us his kindness through Jesus Christ. He wants us to show us his goodness even in our struggles. He wants us to show us his goodness even in the middle of what you are struggling with, known as sin. He is there with you. He loves you. He wants to lead and guide you to all truth. Amen? But see, that's not the only time that it happened. Let's go... Go back to Genesis 12. This happened. This is the second time he was in a kingdom and said, hey, tell everybody you're my sister. Therefore, he treated, this is the king of Egypt in Genesis 12, 16 through 19. Therefore, he treated Abram well for his sake, for her sake, his wife, and gave him sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants and female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household, this is what it had said, but the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Then Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is it that you have done to me? The same thing. It's almost like it happened again, right? Rewind. Why have you done this to me? Why did you not tell me that this was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for myself as my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. He said, get out of here. But he gave him. You know, you think about, was Abraham rich? He was rich. God blessed him. Did you know a lot of that was given to him by the king of Egypt and then that king Abimelech? God blessed him. Even in his mistakes, God showed his kindness to Abraham as he had blown it. Matter of fact, if he wasn't under law, he was under promise. He had lied. That was a sin under the law. We still don't want to lie, right? Tell the truth. He had married his half-sister. Come on, that's gross. He gave his wife to another man, adultery. All these things, but he was under promise. One thing I've realized is we're children of Abraham. We're under promise. And that he wants to bless us even when we don't deserve it. You know, him blessing us so many times, even when we don't deserve it, it softens our heart towards him. It makes us say, Lord, man, you're still for me. It causes us to put our confidence in him. But the enemy wants you to think, you and I to think, that anytime he makes mistakes, God's going to withhold from you. See, if you know Christ as your Savior, you're a child of Abraham. He wants to bless your life. For Abraham lies, and God sends him away with a bounty. And then he gets this bounty from these two kings, then God blesses that. God multiplies that. But the beginning of his bounty came from two kings that said, get out of here. What are you doing? What happened to you, Abraham, that you would do that? I have a PowerPoint here I just want to share with you. Legalism, strict, this is what it means, strict adherence to law or prescription, especially to the letter rather than the spirit. That's what that means. But trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ means expectation, hope, confide, or confidence in Christ. Isn't that amazing? Legalism is adhere to law, prescription. Man, that's a tired road to go. But expectation and hope and trust in him, man, that is awesome. Willpower, the next one, willpower, ability of an individual to conform. That never works. Legalism is willpower, trying to follow what they think is right or wrong. But in trust, it's his power, his ability of Christ through love in you and I. Amen? Amen. Legalism says knowledge in taking mass information, taking more information, maybe it'll change your life. You'll be able to change. But through trust and through grace, it's revelation, knowing Christ. See, the Word of God, when you're reading the Word of God, what God is wanting you to do is this to be revelation of who Christ is in you. It's never about taking a bunch of information in, then making a list and say, okay, let me apply this. So that when you're in a hard place, you say, okay, what was that point number three? Okay, self-control. Okay, I can do it. I can do it. The next day, I can do it. Then the next day, I can do it. I can do it. The next day, it's like, I didn't. No self-control. See, what the Spirit of God is it's from inside you, so it becomes who you are. It's not a much trying. It's who you are in Christ. Then you find yourself just responding differently. Say, where'd that come from? That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the power of God in you through revelation of who Jesus Christ is. The Word is all about revealing the person of Jesus Christ. It's not about revealing some type of power, some mystical power. It's not about giving you bullet points to apply to your life, to manage your life. No, it's all about revealing Christ and changing you from the inside out, renewing your mind. It's about who you are and becoming in Him, not about a much doing or applying something. Amen? Okay, behavior determines worth. Legalism is really strong on that. Behavior determines your worth to God. But in grace and trusting Jesus Christ, your worth will determine your behavior. Out of your self-worth, who you are in Christ, then your behavior begins to change. Amen? In that behavior, that'll never work. Behavior determines worth. You'll never get there. I promise. You'll never get there. Okay, blessing based upon works. Blessing based upon promise. Blessing based upon promise. See, two families, one choice. You can be like what he said, Ishmael. Means your efforts, what you can do, your ability. It leads to frustration. It leads to many people giving up or becoming full of stinking pride, saying, look at what I accomplished. Why can't you accomplish it too? Look at what I can do. That's what the Pharisees did, right? Look down on everybody. Because it was based upon works or based upon the promise, saying, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of Abraham. Amen. I'm a joint heir. He's doing mighty works. He's leading and guiding me. His blessing is upon me. I'm telling you, if you know Christ as your Savior, His blessing is upon your life. You determine whether you believe that or not. I don't know about you, but I believe that. His blessing is upon my life. It changes relationships. Those things that you struggle with as you put your faith in Him, as you continue to trust Him, the power of that begins to break over your life. You shall know the truth. It's the truth that will set you free. As the worship team comes, amen, do you love Him today? So what family do you want to be on? In a family where your self-righteousness is determined by your effort or by the promise putting your trust in Jesus Christ? Let's trust Jesus Christ. This is, let me tell you, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's by faith. Jesus says that you have to have childlike faith. It's trust. He says we believe by faith that He made the world and everything in the world. God making the world. Amen. We believe that even that that sin entered the world at the time of Adam and Eve, and it's been plaguing man since then. See, you and I were born in sin. You and I were born needing a Savior. If you put your trust in Him and say, Jesus, I believe You're God. Wash my sins away. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. You can begin a walk with putting your trust in Him. He'll lead and guide you. He'll give you peace and rest. Will everything be easy peasy? No, but you know where to go. You know where you put your trust. Oh, how He loves you and I. Can we stand up together? Father, we bless You in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank You for the power of the gospel. For it's the power of the gospel that changes lives. It's the power of the gospel that sets the captive free. It's the power of the gospel that heals a wounded heart. It's the power of the gospel that takes a heavy load off of you. This heavy load of self-effort. And you give it to Jesus. Say, thank You, Jesus. I trade with You. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Amen. You know, putting your trust in Him, man, that'll get rid of that disorder in your stomach of always being uptight and fearful. You can put your trust in Him that He'll lead and guide your life. Oh, how He loves you and I. Amen. Oh, how He loves you and I. Father, we receive of Your mercy and Your grace this morning. Lord, we believe in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Father God. Father, it doesn't matter what You did yesterday. It doesn't matter what You did a year ago, 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. Today, saying, Lord, I give You my heart. And thank You for forgiving me of everything in my past. I'm telling You, He forgives you strictly and only by faith. And then you can experience His forgiveness. Amen. He'll set you free. And you'll enter into kingdom, into the eternal life through Jesus Christ. Father, we bless You and we honor You. We thank You. We praise You this morning. Father, I pray that even through this week that You begin those areas in our lives where the enemy can fool us or trick us, those records that play in our mind. Well, there's areas where the enemy has us tricked and all of a sudden the light, the truth of the gospel say, stop, no more. No more beating up on yourself. You don't have to give in to that addiction. You don't have to give that thing. No, you can go a different direction. Your spirit, my spirit is in you. You can go a different direction in Him. Father, we thank You, Father, for changing the course of our lives day by day by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank You for callings and purposes. God has purposes by the Holy Spirit for our lives. We thank You for purposes coming about. We thank You for callings, Father, being made known to Your people in this room, Father God, by the Holy Spirit, by no man, but by the Holy Spirit that lives in them. Father, we thank You for it. We love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.